Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
Garden was lost, and so we had to work to pay the cost. And so we went digging into the ground and started to burn many things we found. But
yeah, we did, baby. We started to burn many things we found. That's the divine, the wonderful, the beautiful Dar Williams singing with Pete Seeger and the great David Burns, the Solartopia song. The theme song of this show is on the Tomorrow's Children Grammy winning Tomorrow's Children album with from Appleseed Records. Got a great show for you today. We're going to start very quickly, get a rundown on a film festival in Los Angeles with Alex, and then Kat's going to talk to us about her great work. And we got Michael calling from Germany to talk to him about a wonderful film that's going to be in this festival. Alex, you want to jump in, introduce yourself? I do want to jump in.
I'm very happy to be on this show. Harvey, I'm a big fan of yours. Before I talk about the festival,
let's talk
about you and your amazing work and what you did about Dan and Ofri and just about anti-nuclear movements, and we're hoping to shut down Diablo Canyon. That is the goal in California. So this festival is called the Atomic Age Cinema Fest, which is part of the International Uranium Film Festival, which has traveled to 33 cities around the world in the past 5 years. It's been to India, it's been to New York, it's been to Germany. First time it's going to be in Los Angeles. It will be held on Wednesday, April 27th at Raleigh Studios in Hollywood. It's a real working film studio. It's been there over 100 years. And we will be screening in the Charlie Chaplin Theater four amazing films. The program starts at 12 o'clock. We'll be showing a film called Hot Water, which is a documentary in South Dakota regarding contamination. I guess next to the uranium mines and the effects on the population. And then at 2 o'clock, we'll be screening a film called Nuclear Savage by a wonderful filmmaker. And he, Adam Goodman, I believe it is, and he was documenting what happened in the Marshall Islands, true story. They were looking at the effects of radiation on the islanders. So the title is actually sort of pointing to the fact, who are the savages? You know, the government testing people, or is it the poor islanders who were subjected to this disgusting tests? And then at 4 o'clock, we have Michael van Hovenberg. He's a hot German director. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Alexandra.
We're excited to screen his film. He will describe what happens when there's a war and there's atomic warfare and fallout, and he will describe that. And then we have the beautiful and glamorous Kat Kramer. Hi, Kat.
Hi.
She will talk about her father, Stanley Kramer, who's a Hollywood icon and legend, has done so many important films. But most importantly for our festival, he made the first film regarding the consequences of a nuclear war, I would say. But she can describe it better. Greg Rupek's in the film, but she knows all the Hollywood background stories. And then at 6:30, we'll have a red carpet event, real glamorous red carpet. And then at 7:30, we'll be screening the last film, which is called The Man Who Saved the World. If you watch the trailer on YouTube, it actually will bring tears to your eyes. It's a true story in the 1980s of a Russian retired I guess, a corporal, military man who had to make a very difficult decision when Reagan was in power. The Russians actually thought that Reagan had launched, or the Americans had launched, a nuclear missile heading towards Russia. And they really didn't know. They just saw a blip on the radar screen, and they had to make a decision, should they counterattack with a nuclear weapon. And so this great man actually did not push the button, and that's why the film is called Man Who Saved the World. And so it's part fiction and part documentary of what happened to that man and all the difficult consequences that happened to him, and sort of it ruined his life, but he saved the world. So I guess at the end of the day, it all worked out well. After that, we'll have the nuclear power panel at 9:20 at night that will be moderated by the great Harvey Wasserman and Kat Kramer. And the panelists include Issa Morales, the actor from La Bamba, and also he was on an HBO show recently. He played the president. We'll have also Libby Halevi, who's the host of an amazing radio podcast called Nuclear Hot Seat. It's downloaded all over the world. And who am I missing? Am I missing anyone?
Mimi Kennedy.
Mimi Kennedy, the wonderful actress who's been on so many TV shows and films that you would know her right away. She's an actress and an activist, someone who feels very committed to social justice. So that's the rundown. It's Wednesday, April 27th. The program starts at 12 o'clock, screenings at 2, 4:15, red carpet 6:30, final screening at 7:30, power panel at 9:20, and then the fun will begin because we're having an after party with live entertainment, food, drinks, a VIP area. So the tickets are complimentary. If anybody would like to come, that are, you know, people that are interested in the issue, we only have 161 seats in the theater, and we're almost pretty much going to be sold out in a sense. So if anyone, I still have 20 tickets left for people that are interested. You can contact me personally at 323-206-7025. Uranium Film Festival also has a Facebook page if you want to find out more information. They also have a website. And you can email me at Alex, A-L-E-X, Radlovic, R-A-D-L-O-V-I-C, at gmail.com. Please come to the festival. Thank you, Harvey.
Hey, thank you, Alex. That was fabulous. We'll be glad to have you on. Run off and do what you got to do. I'm really glad you gave us that rundown. Much appreciated.
Well, I have to get on the freeway, but I love you all and have a great show.
Okay, thanks so much. And
thank you.
When you get on a freeway in L.A., you never know if you're going to get off. So we have two wonderful guests with us for the next 40 minutes or so. Kat Kramer talking to us from Los Angeles, and Michael from L.A. I'm sorry, Michael, you're in Germany now, right?
Yes, I'm in Germany now. Hi, Harvey. Thank you for being in the show.
Hi, well, thank you, Michael. And you sound like you're right here in L.A.
Well, hi, Kat. Nice to meet you now personally.
Nice to meet you on the phone. I look so forward
before
to seeing Final Picture. You know, I'm excited to see it because you referenced On the Beach, and this is that you feel, and it's also been, your film has been compared to my father's film as a new On the Beach for a new generation. So part of the excitement for me, I mean, overall the festival is something I'm really committed to, but part of the excitement is going to be seeing Final Picture and, you know, celebrating you before the red carpet and before the final film. And Harvey, it's so exciting that we're getting to moderate this panel. You know, I have to say that I'm involved with the festival in association with Kat Kramer's films that changed the world, my cinema series, which I founded in 2009, really following in my own small way in my father's footsteps by presenting documentaries and feature films of socially conscious filmmakers and really highlighting the issues. And I actually presented the North American premiere of Fallout as a fifth installment in the fifth anniversary in 2013. And I'm sure you're both familiar with that film. It's actually a documentary about the making of On the Beach, and about Neville Shute's book and how my father went to Melbourne, Australia and made the film, which has really become a classic. And you know, so even so more relevant now, and that's why I think that this festival is so important, is to introduce these issues through film, and so I'm just very honored to be a part of it in conjunction with my series. And it's the first time my series has been connected with a film festival. And, you know, this festival is debuting for the first time in L.A.
Well, it's a great thing. It's at the Raleigh Theater, everyone, on April 27th. I guess it's almost sold out. I mean, it's fantastic.
I got a lot of people coming. We may have some surprise panelists, too. I know Alexandra, you know, gave the rundown of the panelists. There may be, as Harvey and I know, there may be a couple others. Because when I presented Fallout, I had a pretty big power panel. You know, Dr. Helen Caldicott, I'm sure you are aware of her, who
of course
flew in as a keynote speaker and on the beach changed her life and made her into who she is. And, of course, Lily Tomlin, who's the ambassador for Kat Kramer's films that changed the world, she introduced Helen because it had Helen had been a long time friend of hers, and then we had a famous Mr. Louis Gossett Jr. also, who has his own take on a lot of nuclear things that he would bring awareness to, that, you know, his own position on things that a lot of people are not aware that he's that much of an activist.
Well, it's going to be great to have him on the panel as well.
Yes.
And so we will be with Mimi Kennedy and Eva Morales and you and I, and we are going to show, of course, as part of the festival, Michael's film. Why don't we let Michael jump in for a bit, Kat, mm-hmm. and we'll have time to talk some more. Michael, will you introduce yourself and tell us about your film that's going to be at this fabulous festival on April 27th in Los Angeles?
I'm really glad to show my film in LA now. It was shot in 2012, and I made the decision really quickly because I had was in my mind to do something against nuclear bombs because it's a really stupid invention, maybe the stupidest we have ever done. So I said, okay, I can't do anything. Because I'm a filmmaker, and the best I can do is making a film about it. And I had that idea of some people in a landscape region. They were not being killed by some bombs, because most of the bombs will go to big cities. But in a landscape region, the biggest problem is the radioactive thing around. The death is coming to you through the air, and that's the most important thing we have to deal with. So I made a small story about a couple which is hides in a little bunker of the Second World War, and about the civil shelter. The people of a bigger city in my region hide in, and we both are connected through radio, and it's about the dying of the people because of the radiation. What mm-hmm. do we do? What we have to decide? And this film was done in 2012, I said, and we had premiere in 2013, and it was a shocking movie for all the people watching it, and a lot of them told me days ago, I still think about it. It's so crazy. It's not normally. It's not in my mind about atomic bombs and dying and something else, but. When I saw that film, it was so crazy and it's so real. It can happen every moment,
mm-hmm.
and that's a crazy thing.
I saw the film. Kat, I think you've seen it. It's very, very powerful. Michael, you should be very proud of your accomplishment in having made this.
Yeah, thank you.
And what time is the
showing? Yes, I won that. but award in Rio at the Uranium Film Festival. I'm so thankful for that award because it helps me to bring that film to the world. And what's my intention? To bring that film to the world, to show it to everybody, just to say, think about it.
Yes.
Maybe it's not the right decision to use that bombs.
And you'll be getting another award at the festival, too, on the 27th. So that's going to be a big part of a ceremony before The Man Who Saved the World. So, you know, I don't know. That's a very important film, too. I don't know if you've both seen it.
No, I have not yet. I'm looking forward to seeing that. Chad, you obviously have seen On the Beach, your father's film.
Of course.
And this one, would you like to compare Michael's film with On the Beach?
No, I need to watch. I mean, it's you know, the whole thing about it is that what made On the Beach, I think, which ironically enough, this is Gregory Peck's centennial. You know, he would have been 100. So this year is Gregory Peck's centennial. They just celebrated his birthday. And Harvey and I are actually going to be doing something with On the Beach coming up and the China Syndrome for the 9th installment, I would say, over the summer. So we haven't announced that yet, but something's in the works. I would need to watch it again, but it's the doomsday feeling of both films, I think, that just grips everyone. They're just so dramatic. And, Michael, you know, I specifically wanted to ask you, were you thinking of On the Beach a lot when you were making Final Picture, or was
yes,
it there?
Yes, what I can tell you is I was inspired of it because at the third grade in my school, in my primary school time, I had a teacher who showed us nuclear movies, and one was On the Beach. And that was the time I started thinking about all that atomic stuff and all of the problems it creates. And definitely Final Picture is definitely inspired by On the Beach. And that's a great thing to meet you now and having Final Picture now in L.A. with you together.
Yeah.
So it's a great thing.
Harvey, were you thinking that too? Because, you know, On the Beach was 1959. But as we all know, it can happen again any time. And that's what the power of Michael's film is. I just feel it's so important for people to see Final Picture on the 27th, and not, you know, not scoot away from the issues, because I still find in L.A., you know, that the reality of a nuclear holocaust is all over the world, but especially with Diablo Canyon in California, and the, you know, I just find a lot of people in Los Angeles to be kind of living in denial. And I'm hoping that this festival will wake them up, because when I presented Fallout, everybody was so committed to changing their ways and really, you know, paying attention to the issues. But then life happens, and the Hollywood environment of so many films that are, you know, vacuous and just don't have anything to say. And my father only made films of social content. So what I love about this festival
What were some of the other titles of the films that your father made?
Well, he made 35, all socially conscious. One is Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, which changed the law. Interracial marriage was against the law in 16 states, and when that came out in 1967, it changed the law. Obviously, On the Beach also started the disarmament talks with the UN, the peace talks. And Inherit the Wind is another one of his classics, Judgment at Nuremberg, The Defiant Ones. He always dealt with issues of racial injustice, humanity, even It's a Mad, 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 Mad World, which was his only big comedy. Ironically enough, that just screened nationwide yesterday. They re-released it on the 10th and yesterday the 13th all over the country, and it sold out at all the theaters. And even that film was about greed. So, I mean, he made all 35 of his films had a message, even though he didn't want to be known as filmmaker with a message. He just really had these stories and these issues he wanted to bring attention to, and he dealt with issues that, you know, in the culture that we weren't really looking at, and they were very much ahead of their time. And that's why with my cinema series, I always present films that are relevant now with social issues that we are afraid to address. And I've had everything from animal rights, because the very first animal rights film, Bless the Beasts and Children, was my father's in 1971. I've had a lot of films about women's equality, an anti-bullying film called Teach Your Children Well, nuclear, obviously, with Fallout, and The Gas Leak in Bhopal, India, Bhopal, A Prayer for Rain, that was one of my most recent ones, and Grandma, about abortion and women's rights and women's equality. And, you know, so this is absolutely just ideal for me to be teaming up with the Atomic Age Cinema Fest and the Uranium Film Festival to have all these films be seen. And I think we have a great lineup. But I am excited that Harvey and I are going to be able to present The China Syndrome along with On the Beach coming up later in the summer because, you know, the Three Mile Island incident, this is the 35th anniversary this year, and it, you know, presenting The China Syndrome will really bring the issue in that film to new generations as well.
Right. So, Michael, I'm really thrilled and excited to be a part of The China Syndrome as well as this festival. I mean, The China Syndrome... I actually was on the set. I visited Tom Hayden and Jane Fonda at their home in Santa Monica while The China Syndrome was going to be made. And there's a barroom scene. It's not the barroom scene from the Star Wars, believe me. I was on the set for that. It was the first time I'd ever been on a movie set.
Mm-hmm.
Michael, is this your first movie?
Sorry, again, please.
Is this your first movie,
not loud.
Michael? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I hope, yeah. Okay, now it's good again.
Is this your first movie, Michael?
No, it's not my first movie. It's my third one on a feature film. I did a lot of short movies, I did a lot of commercials and something else, and I did a youth project, an adventure a movie for young people, and the other one was an adventure movie for adults, and now it's my first atomic movie, and the next is a crime movie, so it's totally different.
Well, of course, this atomic movie is kind of a crime movie. It talks about the end of the world. Describe to us a little bit more the nature of this wonderful film. And you have a wonderful actress, Nadine Badowitz, who's in. And maybe you want to mention a couple of the other actors.
Yes, so I have a wonderful actress, more wonderful actresses, but you know one. It's Nadine Badowitz, and Nadine, she started her career in one of my films years ago. And when she was at an acting school, was on a radio station working there, and now this was her first feature film in a leading role. And she did an amazing job. She has to carry that whole story together with her partner Julian Bayer. And they do such an amazing job. You will believe everything they act. And that's the story of a final picture, because you have to feel with them, to have to go with them from the fun part to the end. And it's not a fun film. I can't say enjoy that movie because it's not really for enjoying, but feel it. Feel that movie, be in that movie, and go out with thinking, not only watching it, go out of the movie and think of the whole thing. And final picture, you have to learn of the story.
And how if people who are listening to the show who can't come to the film festival, I know that we have plenty of listeners who are not in Los Angeles, how can they get a hold of you to somehow see and get a copy and maybe show in their area this wonderful film? How can they contact you? By internet, whatever.
So at the moment we are at the first time in the U.S. and we hope to find a distributor bringing it to the people in the U.S. and mm-hmm. maybe to the world. So if there is any distributor listening, please come to our festival or contact me. You will find every information in the internet on finalpicture.de. Finalpicture.de. And there are some contact informations, and you will find everything, including the trailer of the film. And yeah, it's up to you now to bring that film to the world with me together.
Yeah, you know, I feel that I'm inviting distributors to the, because a lot of distributors come to my series to check out a lot of the films that we've had hadn't had distribution when I premiered them. So there will be a chance for distributors to come see it, Michael, on the 27th. And it's perfect to have it at the Raleigh Studios.
That would be great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Kat Creamer, how do people find out more information about your wonderful series?
Well, I have a website, www.katcramersfilmsthatchangetheworld.com, and also katherinekramer.com is just a general website about other projects I'm working on. And also I have four or five Facebook pages. I'm kind of pretty, involved with social media. So Kat Creamer's Films That Changed the World on Facebook, Katherine Creamer, Kat Creamer, the Katherine Creamer fan club group, and then Twitter. There's a lot of content out there also on YouTube and various ways you can look up Kat Creamer's Films That Changed the World and what's coming up next. The main
Catherine
focus right now is obviously on the 27th.
Right.
And
it's Kat Creamer with a K, not a C, so people should understand
that. Yes, Katherine Hepburn, K-A-T-H-A-R-I-N-E. She spelled it the same way. She was my godmother. And so I'm always telling them spell it with an A, and it's Kat with a K and K-R-A-M-E-R. Yes.
Wonderful. So, Kat Creamer, what is your next film project? Aside from our showing, hopefully soon, the China Syndrome, what film are you working on next?
Well, as an actress or just for the series?
Yes.
Because I am primarily an actress. I'm in several films
in the
series. But, for the cinema series, I also will have Cinemability, which is a film about how characters with disabilities have been portrayed in film and television since the beginning of time, since the beginning of the medium, actually, since silent films and since the birth of television. It's a pretty award-winning documentary, but it's never really had a full-fledged premiere and Salon Think Tank, which is what I do with my series. I'm also going to be presenting The Hunting Ground, which we gave the 2016 Stanley Kramer Award from the Producers Guild. I'm doing something with that and another film called Court of Conscience by filmmaker James Haven. And then I'm going to have Feminists, What Were They Thinking, which is a documentary about feminist movement in the 70s, and it features Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin. And as I mentioned, Lily has been is the ambassador for my series, and she's been involved with more premieres and films than any other activist. So I think it'll be my fifth one with her. I think it's the sixth. I mean, she's been so involved since the beginning. And Jane Fonda, we hope Harvey will be joining us for the China Syndrome. And
well, we're certainly looking forward to that. And I know this, the big event that really has to happen in California now is the shutdown of the Diablo Canyon nuclear plant.
Right.
That is ground zero in terms of saving the lives of this planet. There is no nuclear plant that is more capable of delivering a massive dose of radiation to the entire continental United States than Diablo Canyon. And so the focus of our panel at the Raleigh Theater after these wonderful films, including Michael, is going to be how do we do that. And, of course, solar energy is just booming all over California. And unlike some other states where there's been a pushback by the what I call King Kong, coal, oil, nukes, and gas, in California we've just had a favorable ruling from the Public Utilities Commission that will allow us to sell back power from our solar panels into the grid there, and it's going to make a very big difference in the spread of solar and the stoppage of nuclear in California. That's what we're going to be talking about. Hopefully, many of the people at the festival will be inspired to go out and put solar panels on their houses, and including mine, at some point soon. So this is a really exciting prospect to be doing all of this with both of you, Kat and Michael. And Michael, I'm going to be very thrilled to be a part of a program that is featuring your fabulous film, Final Picture. And we're all really looking forward to that. It's going to be great. And Kat, your work has just been spectacular over the years, and this is really a great thing. So if you'll both just give us, Lori Grace, are you with us, Lori?
Yes, I am.
Okay, very good. So we're going to segue now. The California primary is coming up. Michael, you won't be able to vote in it, but certainly, Kat, you will.
Yeah.
And we will have this wonderful program before the California primary. I guess we can let people know who we think they should vote for. One of the issues is going to be whether it's going to be a reasonable and reliable vote count in this thing. So one last time, you both are welcome to stay on the line, by the way. We're talking with Lori Grace, and you're both welcome to jump in to give us your ideas about this. And Michael, I know, and you can talk very briefly about this, two things about Germany that we really need, and you're speaking to us from Germany, that we really need to emulate in the United States. One is that Germany is making a spectacular and very successful conversion to renewable energy. And is that right, Michael?
Yes, they try. So it's a great idea, and they try to do it. It's not easy. It's something we have to do. We have to change our thinking about energy. And it's not an energy wine, I think. It's more the energy future we do. And the thing in Germany is we talk a lot and do too less for it. And we can do more. But we try to shut down the nuclear plants now, and that's a really, really great idea. But it's also difficult because all over Europe we have a lot of them. So if we start shutting down all these nuclear plants, it's great. But the danger is still there because all the other countries around have them, still have them.
Yeah, so we know that the terrorists who just did the horrible killing in Belgium did talk about hitting the nuclear plants. Kat, do you want to make a quick comment on Diablo? And then we're going to switch over and talk with Lori about voting and voting rights.
Yeah, I just, the Diablo Canyon, I'm so interested also in learning more about it, and I'm happy that that's going to be the focus of the panel. I just think it's so important that we really, not scoot away from that, and people need to be made more conscious of it. But I really...
Yes, we do. And I have to say, Michael, that, the model of Germany switching over to solar, we know that there are problems, but the fact that the fourth largest economy in the world is now committed to doing this, and that you did in Germany shut immediately 8 of the 19 reactors, and others have shut since. And we're now getting notice that France is beginning to shut its nuclear plants down. And so this is a huge transition. And, Kat, we're going to be really importantly linking Michael's film on nuclear war was on the beach on nuclear war, and of course, you know, eventually the China Syndrome.
Right.
But certainly at the Raleigh Theater on April 29th, we'll be seventh. We'll be talking about the connection here, and
yeah,
it's fitting that the program at the Raleigh Theater will be coming one day after the anniversary of the disaster at Chernobyl.
Right.
From
I think that's why it's perfect date to do the festival.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
And have it all in one day and one night, you know, as opposed to traditional festivals which span a week or 3 days. This way it's almost, you know, there's no excuses not to be there and pay attention and, you know, ask questions. We definitely want to make sure that the audience has a chance to ask questions of the panelists. Fortunately,
right.
I would have to be,
with
you
us,
know,
we have Lori Grace, one of the great activists on election protection. The other thing I wanted to mention about Germany is that Germany has hand-counted paper ballots. And so when you have an election in Germany, am I right, Michael?
Sorry, again, please. It was the line is not really great at the moment.
Okay, so we have in Germany you have hand-counted paper ballots. You do not use voting machines. And Lori Grace is talking to us from, are you in New York, Northern California now, Lori, or have you gone to New York?
I'm in Northern California right now, and I'm going to be flying to New York to help teach people about election integrity issues related with Bob, you know, related to New York, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey, because those primaries
are
coming
right up. Lori Grace, and Kat again, and Michael, you're welcome to stay on. Well, we're going to switch over and do a little discussion here on this. Lori, tell us what you are doing.
I will have to jump off. We have another commitment pre-production on a film.
Kat, thank you so much, Kat Kramer. We've been honored by your presence.
Absolutely.
And I look forward to seeing you on the 27th.
I look forward to it,
and
Michael, to meeting
you. Thank you for all the great work you've been doing.
Looking forward to meet you, Kat.
Absolutely. We'll make history.
Okay, you guys. We'll see you in L.A.
Okay,
okay,
so I'm switching off now too.
Me too.
So greetings from Germany to you all, and thank you for being on your show with my film.
Thank you so much.
Okay,
and
I look forward to seeing you, and we'll have a great event in Los Angeles at the Raleigh Theater on April 27th.
Yes.
Yeah, and watch my film at 4:15. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll talk to
you
again.
See you all soon. Bye.
Okay, very good. Thank you both so much for being with
Bye.
Us.
Bye, have a nice
okay.
time.
Okay, Afida Zain, and we'll talk again soon. Lori Grace, now we got the rest of the hour for election protection. Tell us, please, and our listeners, what you are doing and how people can get a hold of you to coordinate with your excellent work on election integrity.
Well, it's definitely starting up again because quite a series of primaries that have had problems and different kinds of problems with different primaries a fair number in the Bernie Sanders campaign, actually. I'm doing it now. Bob and I are going together. Sorry you can't come. We tried to New York to present on what New Yorkers, members of Pennsylvania, and New Jersey can do to help protect their votes. And especially in New Jersey and in Pennsylvania, there's a huge number of electronic voting machines which are very vulnerable to fraud.
Well, now you mentioned Bob. We're talking about Bob Fitrakis, who has been my co-conspirator.
Yes.
And Bob and I have written, I've lost count, 6 or 7 books now about...
That's what he said. Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, good. I'm glad. You've written quite a few books. I agree. And also, we've also helped sponsor, through Threshold Foundation and also to some degree myself alone, conferences where we teach people about this topic. And we're up to it again.
Well, now you have helped coordinate a webinar, which is going to be happening soon. Can you tell us about this webinar and how people can jump in on it?
So this webinar is being done through PDA action. It's actually tonight from 8 to 9, shortly before the 9 o'clock debates between Clinton and Sanders in New York City. And if you want to find out how to get on this webinar, it has information for anywhere in the United States. You can you can check certainly my organization's website at sunrisecenter, all one word, .org. That's sunrisecenter.org. And the other is the organization that's sponsoring the webinar, which you may have the exact email address. I unfortunately am in my car and don't have it, is PDA Action, or People Demanding Action.
And what is the content of the webinar? What is going to be happening on this webinar?
The content is to teach people things like checking their voter registrations, how to do that, how to check for whether your state has voter ID laws, what kind of voter ID laws they have, how to deal with, knowing what kind of electronic voting machines your area has, knowing what to do if your voting machine flips your vote to the opposing candidate, how to observe polls, because we definitely, there is less stealing when more people are looking. So
well,
those are the basic
things. This is a one-hour webinar, is that right?
It's a one-hour webinar tonight, and then there's going to be another one that will have, I believe, you and Bob again at a later time.
And you're doing trainings in New York. Now, can you talk about these trainings that you're doing?
Yeah.
And what you might recommend
to
people who...
They're right in Manhattan on 36th Street between Park and Madison. And for the exact numerical street address on 36th Street, my suggestion is to go to sunrisecenter.org, to the website, and place is called Torn de Sol, that's TourneDeSol. Or no, Torn Sol without the D, excuse me, TourneSol. It's a health center, but they have a gorgeous place where people can spend time learning, and we're going to be doing all sorts of practice exercises.
And if people are wanting to duplicate or replicate these seminars on protecting the elections, what would you recommend they do?
Well, first of all, I think the webinars are excellent to educate oneself, and then we're having two different groups are going to be filming one event on Saturday, one on Sunday, and we'll be getting this all out on YouTube, so people will have a chance to really educate themselves. And you know, this will be probably the first time that this is done with YouTube, I would imagine.
Okay, so let's get to the nitty-gritty here. Tell me why, you and me, we've had these conversations, but for our listeners, this is Lori Grace, one of the great election protection activists. Tell us, why are you concerned about the theft of elections? What's got you going here?
I really want people to be able to trust their vote. I want to have people to trust that the government of the United States can represent the will of the people and not the will of a number of guys in the back room who manipulate elections or simply do it from their BlackBerry.
What makes you think that that's been going on? Aside from the
You and I have both been involved with dealing with Mike Connell a long time ago in 2008. There were other things with things that Karl Rove had set up in 2012 and the Koch brothers and all of this. And all three of us tracked this, Harvey, you, and Bob and I. And we don't want it happening anymore. You know, we want people to be able to trust their vote, trust their government, trust the donations they put in. And education is the best way to empower the public.
You mentioned Mike O'Connell. Can you tell us about Mike O'Connell?
Yes. He was a person who was working as a computer guy, and he was involved first with the stealing of the emails related to the attorney firings in 2000, I believe it was in six, or seven, six actually. And he also was helping to design the how elections would happen. In 2008, he also had been involved in 2004 in when the tabulators broke down in Ohio, and the votes were from Ohio were sent to Chattanooga, Tennessee, where they were changed by in a Republican server and sent back to the Secretary of State's office in Ohio. And Ken Blackwell was not only Secretary of State, but was one of the Republican campaign chairs for George Bush. And so when this all happened, I happened to be in Orlando. I had been canvassing, actually, for Kerry, and it was at about 12 midnight that everything looked like it was changing. At 9 o'clock, Kerry was winning. After midnight, and the polls had long closed, Kerry was losing, and it was a flipped vote. So
yes,
there were ways in which he played a role in that. And we had through Stephen Spoonmore, who came in later to as a whistleblower, we were able to get both with the Secretary of State, I forget her last name, in Ohio.
Jennifer Brewer.
Oh, okay. And together with Stephen Spoonmore, they worked out and with the depositions that were against Mike Connell that in the King Lincoln Bronzeville case that you and Bob and Cliff Arnebeck were involved, we saw the whole map of how the votes were stolen.
It's a pretty sick situation. We're talking with Lori Grace, an election protection activist. Lori, you're in Northern California. The California primary is coming up. What are your concerns about the California primary?
Well, one of them is that there's a company called SOE that is a subdivision under a company called CITL, which has some people that are used to work for the CIA working for them, as well as in the 2004 elections, people who left Mike Connell's company after Mike Connell was found dead. And that's another story. And some of these votes in California may be counted in Florida or even in Barcelona, Spain. And so we also have now huge evidence from many places, and even NSA people coming out to talk about how a huge amount of hacking is going on. And there are groups, even Spoonmore talked about it, certainly in 2008, as well as 2012, groups, foreign countries, from China, from Israel, different groups seeking to change the U.S. election through electronic voting hacks.
So we
are at risk unless we learn how to, in a very grounded way, look at our votes, take pictures of what we voted for, our ballots ideally, and try to, in California, go for an absentee ballot. And because we have a large number of absentee ballots, you can bring your absentee ballot into a voting place on election day, which is the safest way to deal with things because your vote won't hopefully get lost in the mail or in a pile of stolen mail. and that you, you know, that it'll really be taken into account. So we want to educate people in California about how to create their safest vote as well.
Well, it's pretty astounding stuff. And, you know, we have to, what we know for sure is that the 2000 election was stolen, that George W. Bush was never legitimately elected, and that that work, basic work, was done by Greg Palast, who showed how the voter rolls were stripped Florida, and Bev Ferris, who showed the black box voting in Florida in 2000, where the electronic voting machines were manipulated. And then
That's
Bob and I did most of the basic grunt work on the ground here in Ohio in 2004, and we've come up with the term strip and flip, where you strip the voter rolls of black and other suspected Democratic voters, and then you flip the vote count if that's not good enough. So now we're going into the 2016 election, and Lori, are you optimistic, Lori Grace, that we're going to get a fair vote count in the 2016 election?
Only if we're really vigilant and we step forward and we educate everybody. Yes, then I'm much more hopeful.
Well, now you're involved with, you're a supporter of Bernie Sanders. I assume you're involved somewhat with the campaign. What is Bernie Sanders and his people doing about election theft?
Well, unfortunately, they're really needing to be educated, and I imagine some of them are going to come to these programs in New York because Bernie's been hurt by some of the manipulations, as in Arizona, a little bit in Illinois, Missouri, Wisconsin, even in Massachusetts, questionable voting things happening, and Wyoming also. I mean, there's so many now. And, you know, I like him because I like how he really wants to shift America away, at least to some degree, from what I see as a corporatocracy. That's a word that I made up, but then I found a lot of other people have it. So a corporatocracy, that the rule by the corporations, the large corporations that we have in this country. So anyway, they need to be educated. Many of the lawyers that are sent around are not election lawyers. They don't know any election law. Voters need to know what to do. There needs to be a call center set up that's better managed. Right now, Bernie's used a lot of volunteers for his election integrity work. Ultimately, he really needs a staff. And what the vision that I've held for America and for campaigns, what we really need is election insurance. We need campaigns to, quote, buy election insurance, which would pay for people like poll observers effectively educated poll managers and educators like yourself, Harvey, and other things. So we don't quite have that yet, you know. But
we put out a number of plans. Bob Sterkis and I put out what's called the Ohio Plan, which is basically to have automatic universal voter registration, have the elections be on a four-day weekend, a national holiday, so that people don't have to take off work to vote, have way more accessible polls, and have the polls worked by the nation's high school and college students, along with elders, at $15 an hour. And then the most important thing of all is to have hand-counted paper ballots, which we have in Germany and in Ireland, Romania, Japan, and Canada. And this is a plan that we hope to see put into effect. And, Lori, what is the method of voting in California in this upcoming
poll? Well, thanks, because we had a former Secretary of State named Deborah Bowen, who really knew about computers and the tendency for software to have problems and computers to crash. She got every voting machine company to have to use certified software. This was also imitated then later by other states in order to create more safety. And they ran out of money when they got to Hardinger Civic, but all the others were at least mandated to use certified software, and I don't quite know where Hardinger Civic stands right at the moment. But the idea of certifying software, not letting election officials take home tabulators in their car, you know, or voting machines. Originally, it was to enable staff people in the election offices to get familiar with voting machines, but it was perfectly easy to program a new memory card in them. And, you know, with, so she created controls against that sort of thing, and maybe you could say right now, what controls has John Houston kept, or what has he thrown out that Jennifer, who I really believe...
Well, here in Ohio, John Houston is the Secretary of State. He has done his best to disenfranchise as many young voters as possible. Bernie Sanders had to take him to court on that. And as far as I can tell, there are zero safeguards using electronic voting machines in the state. We assume that the Republicans are going to strip down the precincts again, like was done in Arizona and in Wisconsin. You know, I'm not optimistic at all about either Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders carrying Ohio, the perennial swing state, because we do have a Republican governor and a Republican secretary of state. And, you know, that's a lethal combination. Of course, there are plenty of states in the country where we have a Democratic governor and Democratic secretary of state, but they're not swing states. California is not a swing state. Everybody knows California and New York are going to go Democratic. Everyone knows Texas and Alabama are going to go Republican. So we don't have anything going on that I think is any good.
Wow. Yeah.
So, and you know, Lori, I've had a number of shows about election protection. We had Richard Charnon on. I've had Bob, Greg Powis, Mimi Kennedy. And frankly, going into the 2016 election, I am not optimistic. I don't see where we come out of this with a reliable vote count. We have well over half the country voting on electronic voting machines that are 10 years old. It could be hacked by a 15-year-old kid driving by with a Wi-Fi. Maybe it's a little better in California, but I hope that you are successful. I did get an email from some of Bernie Sanders' people asking to be briefed. And so let's see, before the show's about to end here, Lori, will you give people, again, how to get in touch with you and how to plug into the work you're doing?
I'd like you to go to Sunrise Center, that's all one word, .org, and then you can look under events. And we are going to be doing more educational events about this. And we have one in Marin County coming up on the 25th, and then we're looking at you somewhat later. And, you know, whether it's for the primary or for the full election, we're really wanting to invite people to educate themselves and so that they'll be more empowered.
Okay, very good. Lori, we got just in time. Thank you so much. I'll be on your webinar shortly. Lori Grace, election protected activist. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back next week with another hour in Lowertopia. Thank you guys in New York. Always do a great job and a great way to
do it. So I'm thinking I just need to say goodbye.
Take care, bud. Lori, goodbye.